This is Liliana.
I'm Danaya.
And I'm Badila.
And we're from Perfect 10 After School,
a wonderful club for girls in Hudson, New York.
And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA.
Community radio for Columbia and Greene counties.
Perfect 10 girls got it going on.
Oh, yeah.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear all about this coming election. It's October 29th through November 8th this fall, including races for governor, several congressional races throughout the Hudson Valley, and many local judges are on the ballot. To find out all about the deadlines to register to vote and other deadlines to send in absentee ballots and get an absentee ballot on the WGXC Morning Show today. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. Turn out or tune in to two of the world's greatest percussionists performing in Catskill at the Avalon Lounge on October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Composers and percussionist Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt perform with a live web stream at WGXC.org. Turn out or tune in for Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Sunday, October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Roger Hannigan-Gilson is reporting for the Times Union that the City of Hudson's Industrial Development Agency is changing how it awards tax breaks to new construction projects with a vote on September 21st to adopt new criteria focused on community benefits. The Hudson IDA was recently criticized for giving tax breaks to high-end hotels. That led to a series of public workshops about reimagining the way it gives tax breaks. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson, a member of the IDA, said, and I quote, We want to make sure that everything new has a direct benefit to the existing city, end quote. The new criteria for tax breaks include asking developers to provide well-paying jobs, to give workplace advancement training to employees, to provide workforce housing, and to improve the environment and offer goods and services that will benefit the community. Proposed projects are awarded points based on those criteria, and scores determine if a project gets a tax break and how much that discount is. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that the Harvey Fight House, surrounded by the Opus 40 Sculpture Park in Highwoods, Ulster County, has been listed for sale again, with an asking price of $1.5 million for anyone who wants visitors wandering through the earthwork nearby, which is a few steps away from the house. The parcel includes 1.7 acres. It was previously listed for $3.9 million in 2010 and $3.5 million in 2021. Quote, this majestic home overlooks his magnificent 6-acre earthwork sculpture and a quarry pool cleared out and shaped for a swimming pool by Harvey Fight with marvelous natural spring water, unquote, according to the real estate listing. Homeowner Tad Richards said in a statement that generations have loved the house. It has been Richards' family home since 1944 when his mother Barbara married Harvey Fight. Richards and his wife spent 30 years as caretakers of Opus 40. Listing agent Laurie Della Villa Miller said Opus 40 operates separately from the home and will remain open to visitors after a sale is made. In December, the Opus 40 Sculpture Park received a $300,000 grant from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation for the repair and conservation of the park's bluestone sculpture. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that 58 fiberglass and acrylic feline sculptures were sold last weekend during the 16th annual Cat's Meow Gala and auction at historic Catskill Point. More than 300 people attended the event. The auction raised $85,000, the largest amount generated by the event in recent memory, according to the Heart of Catskill Association. The first 30% is paid as commissions to the individuals who created the sculptures, and the rest, quote, go right back into worthy causes in and around Catskill, unquote, according to the association's Facebook page. After two pandemic-constricted years, this was the first auction since 2019 that the association was able to host a gala and auction with full public participation. Quote, Perfect Nights, unquote, by South Caro artist Ray Spurzel, sold for $3,700, the highest bid in the auction. Quote, Spirit Wings, unquote, by Nancy Whalen, sold for $3,500, and, quote, Indigo Blues, unquote, by Marjorie H. Sisek-Yonker, and, quote, Geisha Kitty, unquote, by Victoria Lake, sold for $3,100 apiece. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
On September 21st, Governor Kathy Hochul's campaign agreed to debate Republican challenger Lee Zeldin once. Hochul agreed to a New York One debate at 7 p.m. October 25th at Pace University in New York that will be broadcast statewide. Hochul had two debates during her primary election campaign, and Zeldin wanted more than one debate this fall. Zeldin said in a statement, and I quote, This is absolutely unacceptable just how much contempt Kathy Hochul has towards New Yorkers that she is trying to pathetically get away with just one general election debate over a month after absentee ballots start going out. We should have a live, televised debate right now, end quote. Zeldin voted to overturn the results of the fair 2020 presidential election, and Hochul is currently facing a controversy about paying more than other states for COVID-19 supplies to a campaign donor. Voting begins October 29th and continues through November 8th.
Steve Barnes reports for the Times Union that the 16-month-old Cafe Mutton at 757 Columbia Street in Hudson within the past week was named by two major national publications among the best places to dine in America. The restaurant serves lunch 4 days a week, dinner only once, and it does not take reservations. Bon Appetit magazine's October issue, out last week, included Cafe Mutton among its 10 best new restaurants, calling it, quote, the country's most uncompromising restaurant, unquote. The New York Times list of, quote, 50 places in America we're most excited about right now, unquote, published online, called Cafe Mutton, quote, refreshingly down home, unquote. Chef owner Shana Lobanian said, quote, "It's pretty exciting," unquote. Although they knew long in advance about the recognition from Bon Appetit, quote, "The New York Times was a total surprise that I woke up to yesterday," unquote, they said. The restaurant, which seats 26 inside and another 10 outdoors, set business records Friday, Saturday, and Sunday last week and was forced to close early on Saturday because food ran out despite unprecedented levels of prepping, Lobanian said. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Former Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan was sworn in as new congressperson in New York's 19th Congressional District on September 13th and cast his first vote in the past week. The 19th Congressional District had gone months without any representation as Antonio Delgado resigned to become Lieutenant Governor and Ryan won a special election in August against Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro to fill the final weeks of his term. Ryan's first vote, the day he was sworn in, was, and I quote, "to extend by 19 days the authorization for the special assessment for the Domestic Trafficking Victims Fund," end quote, which passed unanimously. On September 15th, Ryan voted for the Whistleblower Protection Improvement Act, which passed 221 to 203, and would establish, modify, and expand certain whistleblower protections for federal employees. On September 19th, Ryan voted for the Peace Corps Reauthorization Act, which passed 290 to 125. On September 21st, Ryan voted for the Presidential Election Reform Act from California Democrat Zoe Lofgren and Wyoming Republican Senator Liz Cheney. The bill would confirm that the vice president's role in overseeing the Electoral College count after each presidential election is purely ministerial and passed with a 229 to 203 vote with only 9 Republicans joining all Democrats with yay votes. Locally, Democrat Paul Tonko voted for the last three bills while Republican Elise Stefanik voted against them. Go to the House of Representatives voting webpage to see all of Ryan's first vote.
New York's latest foliage report shows leaves just beginning to turn colors locally. Quote, "In Greene County, spotters reporting from the upper elevations of the towns of Hunter and Windham predict up to 35% color change, with green, yellow, and red leaves of average brilliance. Spotters in Catskill expect 15% foliage change featuring orange and red leaves of average brilliance," unquote, the report says. Quote, "In the Hudson Valley, the Columbia County foliage spotters in Hudson expect just about 10% change this weekend and mostly yellow leaves, while Dutchess County spotters reporting from Hopewell Junction expect up to 10 to 15% color change and red leaves of average brilliance. Spotters in Beacon are predicting up to 10% transition with some yellow leaves of average brilliance appearing," unquote. Read more about this at New York State's Foliage Report.
Mid-Hudson News reports that all unemployment rates locally in August were lower than the same month in 2021. Columbia County had the lowest unemployment rate north of New York City and south of Albany at 3%, while Greene County had the highest at 3.8%. Last August, Columbia County had 3.6% unemployment, while Greene County had a 4.8% rate. Dutchess County reported 3.3% last month, while Ulster County had a 3.5% unemployment. And you can read the full story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, sunny with a high near 57 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 41 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 66 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 46 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM,
Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Friday, September 23rd, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, WGXC, including at 9 a.m. We'll hear all about the voter registration deadlines and other important news about voting this fall in the congressional elections that start on October 29th and end on November 8th. That's on the WGXC Morning Show at 9 a.m. 10 a.m., it's time for the Global Go-Go Show, featuring all Afrobeat this week. A lot of brand new music on the show. At noon, Jared Wiggishut is live from the WGXC Hudson studio with the Sugar Shack Jukebox. 2 hours of rock, pop, psych, soul, reggae, hip-hop, and more after the local news at noon. Tune in the WGXC Afternoon Show live from Acre at 4. Clubhouse Radio is live from Catskill at 6 p.m. with local teens playing their music and talking about their issues. There's Teens in Hudson at 7 p.m. on the Bound by Books show talking about what they've been reading. And at 8 p.m., tune in to guest DJ Peter Brock, live from the WGXC Acre studio on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, October 22nd, come out to Wave Farm and view the installations as part of WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive. Noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd, Wave Farm will welcome drop-in visitors for tours of the campus, including the WGXC Acre Studio and the many installations on the property that employ radio in some way. Also, community members and local nonprofit organizations can come by to record public service announcements to air on 90.7 FM, and members of the public can record a station ID for WGXC. Again, that's Wave Farm is open for visits on Saturday, October 22nd during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive from noon to 6 p.m. Go to WGXC.org for more information, and we'll see you on Saturday, October 22nd at Wave Farm.
Everything is real.
Radio.
Everything is real.
Radio.
Everything is real radio.
Everything is real radio.
Everything is real radio.
Everything is real radio.
The Everything is Real radio program broadcasts here on WGXC 90.7 FM every second Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, September 23rd. Local early temperatures range from 39 degrees in Lexington to 49 in Tivoli. Regional average soil temperature is 62 degrees. It is fall, everybody, and it is feeling like it. It is also looking pretty windy today. And a little wet this morning. I'm seeing a bit of isolated sprinkles, but that all dries up by 9 a.m. And gusts will reach 26 miles per hour. That's going to last about all day long. So consider it great kite flying weather. But don't forget those jackets. Even though it's going to be sunny, we see a high temperature of only 59 degrees at 4 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 41 degrees before bouncing back up to 68 on Saturday. It will be looking great outside. However, 49 degrees overnight takes us into a Sunday with a dry-looking morning but an afternoon with chances for rain and a high temperature of 69 at 4 p.m. The rain lasts overnight into Monday, which will have a high of 70 and chances for rain all day long. pollen levels for today and this weekend will be low, with expectations for it to get even lower. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:54 a.m., low tide at 8:33 a.m., high tide again at 2:26 p.m., low tide once again at 8:36 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 70 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:39 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:40 a.m. Looking way up, we see minor flare chances are still up, but only a 5% chance for X-class flares. Geomagnetic disturbances are expected as we encounter a solar plasma stream tonight. Solar wind speed is currently 414 kilometers per second at 6.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 30 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 99. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Get out there and enjoy the weather while you can, everyone.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Mama Getty of Hyannis, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvised music. Tune in on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm Radio app on your smartphone. Playlists are posted at facebook.com/CKDisturbance.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Taylor.
What do you want?
Turn on the radio.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you.
You're being grotesque.
The radio, remember? Make it work.
Radio. It tends to induce.
Got time. Close down. Now it's pretty late.
Why don't you switch on the radio?
I refuse to discuss it any further.
Oh, please, you must.
Please don't treat me like a mental patient.
Do you believe that? Not for a second. Do you realize what this means?
Don't look for it, Taylor. That's the radio.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
And suddenly...
TV, where he comes from.
some old baseball scouts. If you take this to the highest source about you, without question, source says no vision.
This is 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
The very international order that we have gathered here to uphold is being shredded before our eyes. We cannot, we will not allow President Putin to get away with it.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken called on members of the U.N. Security Council Thursday to send a clear message to Russia that its reckless nuclear threats against Ukraine must stop. Blinken also detailed what he called the mounting evidence of war crimes by Russian forces in Ukraine.
The laws that we had passed with the infrastructure bill and the rescue package and all the rest will serve to enable the training that is necessary for the rebuilding.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said federal funding will help train workers to rebuild Puerto Rico's infrastructure damaged by Hurricane Fiona, which struck the island Sunday. The power grid, which was never fully rebuilt following Hurricane Maria in 2017, is still down in many parts of the island. Hundreds of thousands of residents remain without electricity or water service. The CEOs of America's largest banks appeared before the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee, where Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown detailed their record profits and widespread consumer abuses.
With those profits and with the taxpayer support you get, come a responsibility to serve your customers in the larger economy. I think you know you don't always hold up your end of the bargain.
Brown noted the bank's promotion of their popular money transfer app, Zelle, and their failure to help customers whose money was stolen in fraudulent transactions. Brown said he expects banks to eliminate overdraft and other fees, much like the Federal Reserve waived overdraft fees for banks during the COVID pandemic. Senator Mazie Hirono spoke of the need for campaign finance reform.
Too many elected officials are no longer answering to the people, but instead to the secret donors and corporations who are funding their campaigns.
Still, Senate Republicans managed to block a bill requiring political groups disclose donors who give $10,000 or more. Donations through so-called dark money groups have increased dramatically since the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision in 2010. The Inspector General for the Labor Department reports more than $45 billion was stolen from the nation's unemployment insurance program set up during the pandemic. Criminals use the Social Security numbers of dead people and people serving federal prison terms to file false jobless claims. And finally, the Treasury and State Departments announced new sanctions on several Iranian security organizations following the arrest and death of a 22-year-old woman accused of violating Iran's strict dress code for women. For Public News Service, I'm Catherine Carley. Find our 8 trust indicators for transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this week, we told you about the differences between the U.S. Senate's Electoral Count Reform Act and a similar bill introduced in the U.S. House. September 19th, Representatives Liz Cheney and Zoe Lofgren introduced another version, which has some significant differences. PolitiFact reports that, like the Senate and earlier House bill, Cheney and Lofgren's Presidential Election Reform Act defines the role of the vice president in the process, stops the possibility of an alternative slate of electors, and mandates that electors are chosen before Election Day. Both bills further define the certification process, raise the bar for a senator to object to certification, and limits the certification to the state's chief election officer, which in most states is the governor or secretary of state. The Cheney-Lofgren bill, however, proposes a new way of counting the electoral votes, where the Senate bill tweaks the existing system. The Presidential Election Reform Act also creates financial penalties to discourage the frivolous lawsuit seen after the 2020 election. It also proposes a longer timeline, allowing for proper challenges to be settled before final certification. Action on the bills in the House and Senate are expected soon. The Senate bill has its 10 Republican supporters to overcome the filibuster, but it's unclear how much support the two House bills will have when they get to the Senate. Links to articles, the language of the Presidential Election Reform Act, and groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Here's 2022 new music from Angel Olsen and Sturgill Simpson. The song is called Big Time on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Good morning kisses, giving you all mine. Pull back the curtain, show me the sunshine. Needing this coffee, needing some nature. Need it right now, it can't wait until later. We're always busy, baby, not this time.
This year's general election in New York begins October 29th and ends November 8th. October 14th is the last day to register to vote and to postmark an application to vote in the general election. Those mailed-in applications to vote must be received by the Board of Elections by October 19th. Anyone honorably discharged from the military or who became a naturalized citizen after October 14th may register in person at the County Board of Elections office up until October 29th. Applications to vote by absentee ballot must be received by October 24th, although military absentee ballot applications are accepted through October 29th. Anyone can apply for an absentee ballot in person through November 7th. Absentee ballots must be postmarked by November 8th and received by the County Board of Elections no later than November 15th. Go to the website for your county's Board of Elections for more details.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Tamara Starr is Executive Director of ImperialSamaritan.com and the team leader for Headcount in the Capital District. She has been involved in voter registration initiatives and nonprofit work for over 17 years. So, Tamara, can you, maybe outline some of the work that is being done, locally to promote voter registration and voting?
Absolutely. So Headcount has been very, very busy, especially within the Capital District. All year long, we've been at concerts and comedy shows and events. I had the pleasure of being at Bethlehem Central District High School yesterday, where I was able to not only give a presentation on voter rights and registration to the civic courses, but students had the chance to actually get to pre-register or register to vote for the first time.
What are some of the common misperceptions or barriers that may be keeping people from registering to vote?
A lot of misconceptions are, it's not local enough for me. And that is the complete opposite. We can't just focus on the federal level, but we need to pay more attention to what's going on in our local town board or city council meetings, as well as even school board meetings. Like, everything local affects us as soon as we walk out the door. So I feel it's a personal mission of mine to make sure that everyone is aware of that.
Right. Now, I understand this election cycle, it's mainly going to be your state legislative races for Senate and Assembly, and then federal races for Congress and for, United States Senate. You mentioned you were at a high school recently. How are high school students these days gravitating towards the concept of voting?
I think because of this recent, the last few election cycles have been very untraditional, where, students are hearing there are individuals who want to ban books. There are individuals who are attacking against the LGBTQ+ community. And it's very unsettling. So I feel students now are becoming more aware of, all right, as soon as I turn 18, I need to make sure I hit the polls. But even before I turn 18, I need to talk to members of my community, my peers, to let them be aware that certain ideas that are being addressed are going to personally affect me in a negative way. That there could be some, whether you're dealing with racism, sexism, homophobia, these issues are affecting high school students. So I think this year especially, there's a lot more engagement within the high school community.
Now, I used to hear that some people would say, I don't want to register to vote because then I'm going to get called to jury duty and I can't afford to take time off. Are there any legitimate reasons why somebody might want to escape registering?
So far, I think there also is one misconception. If, there's an impairment of some kind, there's fear that there's no accessibility for that particular individual, when in fact, more places are doing exactly that. They are becoming more accessible. They are becoming more aware of constituents' needs. Yes, there are those who don't want to get involved with jury duty. However, if something gets passed and you start complaining about it, like, whoa, how come no one talked to me about this? Well, actually, there were a ton of public hearings you could have been participating in, and you could have made your voice heard on the ballot about a certain issue. So it's not just about, okay, yes, you may be called in for jury duty. However, you will get a chance to make your voice heard in the process.
Now, if someone's out there listening and says, you know, I've been meaning to get registered, but I haven't done it yet. What's the deadline for registering to vote in this year's election cycle?
So right now, as we all know, the general election is happening November 8th. Early voting dates are going to start October 29th, and that will end on November 6th. People assume that it kind of goes on, but nope. October 29th, then November 6th are the early voting dates. So you would need to make sure you register to vote right away. Luckily, New York is pretty good. You can register online as well. But I haven't seen a deadline, but you definitely want to make sure you do it a couple days before November 8th.
Right. Well, I used to know, it used to be about like 3 weeks. So like October 16th or 17th, but they keep on changing the rules. I know people can go to the Board of Elections website and get whatever the rules are for this year. Well, you know, what can people do if they show up to vote and the people there at the boards, at the polling place says, hey, we don't have your name. Should people go home at that point, or can they cast some type of provisional ballot?
Yes, they can do that as well. Yes.
If people want to find out more about an election, what is a good way for them to track information about candidates?
A great way for them to track information about candidates, I actually would like to, I am not being endorsed by them whatsoever, but I highly, highly encourage every person who is curious about wanting to know what's on the ballot, wanting to learn more about the candidates who are on it, to download this app. It's called Activote, A-C-T-I, V as in Victor, O-T-E. And I find that it is a great resource because it also allows you to answer a bunch of questions on your views of different topics. And then it actually puts you on a political spectrum grid and shows where the other candidates lie around it. So then instead of, you know, once November 8th rolls along, you're kind of just guessing. Instead of just guessing, you can feel more comfortable and confident with who you decide will earn your vote.
Now, if somebody out there is part of a school or a community group or a church or a mosque, and they want, hey, it'd be good after, you know, whatever, some event or services to have somebody do a voter registration drive, can they put that together themselves? Is that something that Headcount helps out with? But if people want to get some help in doing a voter registration drive, or they want to volunteer, what are some good resources for them?
Of course, always, if you would like to help out with, you know, spreading not only the word of the importance of registering to vote, or just by being there, taking voter registrations and just talking with other U.S. citizens out there, other New Yorkers out there, it will help a lot. Just go over to headcount.org. You can look on our events page and see which events you can help volunteer with. If you are interested in even doing admin work, we're always looking for volunteers year round.
You have been doing this type of work for over 17 years. Are you finding people more interested in getting registered to vote than they were 17 years ago, about the same, or how's it changed over time?
I feel that people are a lot more passionate about registering to vote. Before, it did feel like I was pulling teeth, especially during my NYPERG days, SUNY Binghamton or the College of Staten Island campuses. However, now I am finding whenever someone even sees the word vote, they come to the table and they go, oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. I just moved. I need a change. I think people are a lot more aware that not only should they be registering to vote, but they also need to make sure that their information is accurate. So I want to say over the years, people in general who I see to come to the tables, they are a lot more aware of the requirements for voting.
Well, we've been talking with Tamara Starr, executive editor of ImperialSamaritan.com and the team leader for Headcount. If people want more information about registering to vote, get a website.
Yes, headcount.org.
Easy one to remember. Thank you very much, Tamara. And this is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I heard about your love. So you're alone today. Inside of peace of mind. No water running. Water run and dream. I don't want.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. Right now, the lowest price is $3.68 a gallon at the Cumberland Farms in Cairo, according to the Gas Buddy website. Then we look at the air quality forecast, and it's a 26, slightly up from 22 on Thursday, but still in the good range. The UV index is also in the moderate range. It was a 3 on Thursday and is up to a 4 today, so still pretty good. The National Weather Service in Albany says it should be sunny on Friday with a high of just 53. Northwest wind around 14 miles per hour with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Friday night, the prediction is for mostly clear skies with a low of 40, getting colder, with northwest wind 10 to 17 miles per hour with gusts as high as 31 miles per hour for those windmills. Saturday should also be sunny with a high of 63 and a northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 25 miles per hour for the windmills. Saturday night, the forecast is for partly cloudy skies with a low around 45 and a west wind around 6 miles per hour. Sunday, there is a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 65 and a low around 52. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. We'll be right back.
in the road.